Well, welcome to Real Talk with Jordan Riley, where the real talk does not come from me. It comes directly from God's Word. And before we get started today, please consider subscribing to our channel, giving this a thumbs up, and supporting what we do by going to realtalkwithjordan.com. On today's episode, we're going to expose the twisted teachings of the Catholic Church. See, billions of people are following this man-made system, and we're going to break it down so you know the truth and can help share it with someone you know. So are you ready? Let's go.
Father, is there anywhere in the scripture you can tell me where I don't have to go to you to confession that I can go directly to the big guy? Nope, Hebrews 5, I would choose priest among men for the forgiveness of sins. No one is to take it upon themselves. Was it in existence before the church got started? Absolutely. Leviticus 5 and 6, you still had to go to a priest. You just heard it in scripture. I came to fulfill the law, not to change it.
Wow, that Catholic priest just twisted and perverted God's word. And that's one of the reasons why Catholicism is not of the Lord and is leading billions of people away from the truth. So I want to go over the teachings of the Catholic Church and show you just how unbiblical they truly are and why you should not believe anything that they teach. Let's start with the biggest problem in the Catholic Church, and that is they have a false gospel and a false salvation. Now they'll say, whoa, wait a second. It's by faith that you're saved, but they will add works. So it's dependent upon you. And here are the seven things that they add that you must do in the Catholic Church to be saved. First is water baptism. Second, the sacraments. Third, good works. Fourth, attend the Mass. Fifth, do penance. Sixth, receive indulgences. And seven, keep the law. The numbers I referred to in that graphic are the paragraph numbers of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which is their official teaching and where you can find this information. I want to make it clear that these beliefs and teachings of the Catholic Church were man-made and are not only blatantly false, but are a twisting of God's word. The Catholic Church departed from the apostolic teaching around 431 AD with nine man-made traditions. Let's quickly break them down. Number one, in 431 AD, they declared that baptism regenerates the soul. And just so we're clear, that is infant baptism, usually around 7 days old. Romans 3 verse 28, Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9, and Romans 4, 5 prove them wrong and make it clear that no works can save us, but only by faith are we saved. Number two, you have the sacrifice of the Mass in 500 AD. This is where they try to continue the work of redemption that Jesus finished on the cross. This is them trying to crucify Jesus over and over and over again. Also, when you look at a Catholic cross or crucifix, you see that Jesus is still hanging on it. This goes against John 19, verse 30. Jesus says, "It is finished." And then he was buried and rose again on the third day. He is no longer on the cross anymore. Hebrews 7, verse 27, along with 1 Peter 3, verse 18, and 1 John 2, verse 2, proves them wrong. It makes it clear that Jesus died once for all. Number three is indulgences, around 1190 AD. That is the remission of temporal punishment for sin. So in essence, if you suffer, you can lower your punishment for your sin. What? That's not biblical at all. Isaiah 53 verses 4 through 6 and Galatians 2 verse 21 proves this wrong and makes it clear that Jesus took our punishment for our sin on the cross. Number four is transubstantiation in 1215 AD. This is where the priest supposedly has the power to call down Jesus from heaven and be transubstantiated into a wafer and juice. So those elements literally become the body and blood of Jesus. So Jesus is being re-sacrificed each time they do this. That is a said no verse ever. John 6 verse 63, along with Hebrews 10 verse 10, proves this wrong. And communion is simply a memorial to what Jesus did by shedding his blood on the cross at Calvary. Number five is purgatory in 1438 AD. This is a place or state of suffering inhabited by the souls of sinners who are paying for their sins before going to heaven. 1 Corinthians 3:15 says believers will escape through the flames, not be cleansed by the flames. 1 Corinthians 15:3 says that Jesus died for our sins. It doesn't say we have to pay for or suffer for our sins. Also, 2 Corinthians 5 verses 6 through 8 and Philippians 1 verse 23 prove this whole concept wrong. And it makes it clear that if we are in Christ and we die, we are immediately with the Lord. We're not sent to some separate place to work off our debt and pay for those pesky sins that we committed. Not at all. Number 6, in 1545, the Catholic Church elevated its tradition to be equal with the Bible. Did you hear what I just said? Equal with the Bible? 2 Timothy 3 verses 16 and 17, along with Acts 20 verse 32, are clear that God's word is the standard, not human tradition. Also, over 60 verses in the New Testament, you see Jesus or the apostles say, "It is written," not, "I heard a guy say once." No, not at all. Also, Mark chapter 7 verses 1 through 13, Jesus condemned even the traditions of the Pharisees. Number 7, in 1854, they came up with the Immaculate Conception of Mary, which is where Catholics believe that Mary was born perfect and lived a sinless life. Romans 3 verses 10 through 23, also 1 John 1 verses 8 through 10, and Psalm 51 verse 5 prove this absolutely false, because it's clear that we were all born in sin and that all of us are sinners. Plus, in Luke 1 verse 46, Mary confessed that she was in need of a savior. Number 8, in 1870, they came up with papal infallibility. This is where the Pope is incapable of being wrong when pronouncing Catholic dogma. Ephesians 2 verses 19 and 20 and 2 Timothy 3 verses 16 and 17 prove them wrong, because there is only one infallible guide left to the church by God, and it is the written word of God. It is not a pope or a priest or a pastor. Number 9. Finally, in 1950, to combat questions of why is Mary dead if she was sinless, they came up with the Assumption of Mary, that she was just caught up into heaven. That's a said no verse ever. The exaltation of Mary really ramped up after that. But is she really that important?
Roman Catholic Church teaches that you don't want to go to Jesus if you need something. You want to go to Mary to ask Jesus. The whole idea that you go to Mary to plead with Jesus because Jesus can't resist Mary comes from this passage. Can you believe that? Oh, by the way, never mind that she was rebuked by him for asking. This is the only time in the New Testament that Mary ever made any request to Jesus. And he responded by saying, "None of your business." But this is where the Catholic Church finds the fountain of its Mariolatry. Going to Mary to get things from Jesus. Verse 4, after Mary says to him, "They have no wine," Jesus said to her, "Woman, woman, not mother." It's not harsh to say woman. Some say it's kind of the southern expression, ma'am. It's not harsh, but it's not intimate. It's not mother, it's courteous. By the way, it's the same word that he used on the cross in John 19 when he said to her, "Woman, behold your son," and handed her over to John. He called her woman there as well. Why? Because he is telling her, we don't any longer have the relationship we've had up to now. It's over. She is no longer in a position to act as an authority in his life. She is no longer in a position to tell him what to do, to make suggestions to him. This would be a big change because I'm pretty confident that everything she ever asked of him, everything she ever desired of him, he gave out of his love. But she could no longer demand anything from him. She played no role in his ministry. Listen to this carefully. When he was 12 years old, he gave her a preview of this moment. And he was in the temple talking to the officials, and he said, I must be about my father's business. And this day, his father's business started and his mother's business ended. From here on, he was saying, I don't do your business. I do my father's business. I'm done with my mother's business. Fully engaged in my father's business. Can I even extend that? He never asked for suggestions from anybody. From anybody. In fact, when people gave him suggestions, he normally rebuked them, such as, get behind me, Satan.
So you've already seen the man-made traditions and exaltation of Mary. But look at what this priest says. This may be hard to watch, but it's extremely wrong. Watch this.
I don't care where you go to service, but if you're not in the Catholic Church as a Catholic, you're not receiving the Eucharist. So your chances for eternal life become extremely mitigated. What I'm trying to get you to understand is you can't just kind of pick and choose which commandments. You can't pick and choose whether you're in. You're either in or you're out. You're either Catholic or you're not. You're either walking towards him or you're walking away from him, especially with the Mass and the Eucharist. It is everything. He's telling you that if I'm not in you and you are not in me, you will not have eternal life.
Now, I want you to think about what he just said. If you're not Catholic, and if you're not taking the Eucharist, and you're not attending Mass, the chance of you going to heaven are pretty much slim to none. Come on, you guys, say it with me. Said no verse ever. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 says that God chose those he would save before the foundation of the world. John chapter 3, verses 3 through 8 says that salvation comes from above, not from you or me or our efforts. See, salvation is never, 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 never based on our efforts or our works or our keeping of the law. That's Romans chapter 4, verses 3 through 5. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. The Pope is absolutely unbiblical, and their whole tradition is based on the twisting of Peter and his confession that Jesus is the Christ. They think that Peter was the first pope, yet Peter was married, and there was never anything in the Bible where it was passed down to the next person and the next person and the next person like they claim. So if you really look at Catholicism and break it down, what you see is pure idolatry. They idolize a man being the pope. They idolize a woman being Mary, calling her the queen of heaven. They also idolize dead saints. But where's the reverence and the awe and the devotion for the Lord? The Bible says in Isaiah 42, verse 8, that God will not share his glory with anyone. Yet they give glory to people just like we've mentioned.
O Maria, tu risplendi sempre nel nostro cammino come segno di salvezza e di speranza. Noi ci affidiamo a te, salute degli infermi, che presso la croce sei stata associata al dolore di Gesù, mantenendo ferma la tua fede. Tu, salvezza del popolo romano, sai di cosa abbiamo bisogno.
Now Catholics will say that they absolutely do not worship Mary, but yet they make statues of her. They'll travel thousands of miles to go see a statue of Mary, and maybe one all of a sudden magically have a little tear going and they think it's like a miracle. They'll cry at her feet. They'll light incense and candles to her, pray to her, and think that salvation and blessing come from her. That's the definition of idolatry. Catholicism is a man-centered religion where it's mainly up to you to be saved. This is a religion that is focused on the wrong things and the wrong person. See, being a Christian is all about the Lord Jesus Christ, not a pope or a priest or a sacrament or Mary or a dead saint. Being a Christian is all about what Jesus did, not about what we do.
The Roman Catholics are utterly dependent upon their priest. They are a mediator of God's grace. And it starts off with priests have to baptize Roman Catholics for regeneration and justification. And after that, the priest hears their confession and absolves their sin after they do penance. And then the priest offers the body and blood of Jesus in the Eucharist. And that's literally the body and blood of Jesus through the miracle of transubstantiation. And then it's the priest who imparts the Holy Spirit during the sacrament of confirmation. It's also the priest that gives last rites to Catholics on their deathbed. But even after a Catholic dies, they're still utterly dependent upon their priesthood, because it's the priest who will then offer the sacrifice of the Mass to get them out of purgatory more expeditiously. But he refuses to do so unless indulgences are purchased. And so normally what happens is the family of the deceased will go to the priest and purchase Mass cards. They'll put the name of their Catholic loved one on the Mass card, return it to the priest with a stipend of money or an offering, and the priest will lay it on the altar. And the Mass, the sacrifice of the Eucharist of Christ, is supposed to reduce time in purgatory for the name of the person on the card. And so no priest can tell the Catholic family how many Masses must be said. And so Catholics are in bondage to religious deception, not only in this life, but also in the next life, because they're still utterly dependent upon the priesthood.
So as you look at Catholicism, let's look at the facts. They have a false gospel. That's grace plus works. They have a false intercessor, that being Mary, not Jesus. And they have a false head of the church, that being the Pope, not Jesus. So if what they have is false, then according to Galatians 1, verses 6 through 9, they are accursed. That means they're under God's judgment. And they are not saved. They are not Christians, and they will not go to heaven. There are over 1 billion Catholics around the world today. I mean, think about that. That is a lot of deception by a lot of people who are following the traditions of men. What they need to hear is the truth of God's word. Peter said in John chapter 6, verse 68, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." We need to not only pray for Catholics, but lovingly and boldly tell them the truth, that they are following a man-made system of traditions that is leading them to hell. They need to hear that there is only life in Jesus, and only through the gospel, not through their works or through their efforts.